one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
When your heart is aching, turn to Jesus. He's the dearest friend that you can know.
Yes, he is.
You will find him standing close beside you, waiting peace and comfort to bestow.
Yes.
Heartaches, take them all to Jesus. Go to him today. Do it now without delay. Heartaches, take them all to Jesus. He will take your heartaches all away. There is joy for every blighting sorrow, sweet relief for every bitter pain. Jesus Christ is still the great physician. No one ever sought his help in vain. Jesus understands whatever the trouble, and he waits to heal your wounded soul. Will you trust his love so strong and tender? He alone can make your spirit whole. Heartaches, take them all to Jesus. Go to him today. Do it now without delay. Take them all to Jesus. He will take your heartaches all away.
Amen. May we pray together before we bring the message. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great physician and the wonderful comforter. We thank Thee that Thou hast not left us orphans to stumble through the dark. Even though we're pilgrims and strangers down here, we know where we're going, to that city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We pray to bless every new friend and bless everyone that's gathered here in this home today for the message, the men and the women that have come from across and around this nation. And Father, remind the people out in Radio Land that what Jesus has done for these, he can do for all if they'll yield to Christ. Bless this city of refuge. We thank Thee, dear Lord, that we found in Christ the answer to every question and the salvation for every problem, and pray that Thou shalt somehow disturb the devil today and settle a calm in the souls of men who'll put their trust in Thee. Give us liberty and unction as we bring the message, and bless the services all day today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, I'd like to speak to you today on the cause, the course, and the cure for, I guess, the number one killer of today, and that's liquor, alcohol. Though it's been licensed, and though it's been advertised and glamorized, and though it's been welcome into the kitchen and the living room and the schoolroom and many times the church house, I noticed the other day where the church, a certain church, made its application for its liquor license. And one of the things in the school they were going to do was to teach the children to be bartenders. Wanted to know what to do and how to do it. And we never dreamed that we'd see the church come to such a low place without any conviction and lose its faith in God and its conviction from the Word of God. Turn to the book of Proverbs. This is called part of the wisdom literature. This is written by the man that prayed for one thing, and that's what he got. When he was made king, his father David was before him, and in many respects a great and wonderful man, came from the hills of Judea and became king, and many wonderful things were done by him. His son Solomon came to the throne, and the question was put to him, "Son, what do you want? More than anything else, what do you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom. Ask wisdom. I haven't got wisdom." That's the great need today. I wish the college professors would cry out for wisdom. I wish the pastors of our land, I wish the daddies of our home, the fathers, wish the mothers of our children would cry out to God for wisdom today. We're running short on wisdom in this country. We got a lot of knowledge. We know how to orbit the moon, but we've never made it to the sun. And we know a lot about books, but we don't know much about the book. And so you listen carefully, and while I bring this message, he said in the first verse, "When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." Proverbs 23, verse 1. Verse 2 is an unusual verse. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. That's pretty well put. A little drastic, I'd say. But he said, take a butcher knife and don't cut another piece of cake, but cut your throat. Isn't that what he said? He said, if you're given to appetite, you can yoke the glutton and the drunkard together because God did. And many times people come to the city of refuge, instead of getting delivered, they just switch sins. They go from a drunkard to a glutton, and there's our problem. Really it is. I mean, that's been my problem, is eating even too much of the good thing or eating too often. But we need to be careful. Listen, I believe that there have been times, and maybe you've heard me say this, I've gone in the pulpit full of liquor to preach, but it was homemade. I had mixed coconut pie, chocolate pie, maybe mincemeat pie, and a slice of ham, and a piece of fried chicken, and 4 teaspoons full of gravy, 2 tablespoons full of creamed potatoes with all the peelings gone, the life gone, pile of starch. And so time out all got together, I was running my liquor mill. And I got in the pulpit. I realize now, I didn't know then. I got in the pulpit and actually, I didn't know where I was floating or my congregation was floating. I mean, I couldn't tell. It looked like everything. I mean, I stood there. And hadn't been for the goodness of the Lord, I'd never been able to preach that night. But I was ignorant. I did it ignorantly. And I guess in unbelief. But I'll tell you this. Drunkard, being a drunkard or dope addict is a tremendous sin. But I doubt if it's killing as many people as gluttony. And so the Bible warns us. Now, you never hear a sermon preached on gluttony. Hardly ever. I mean, fact is, that's kindly not a nice word. I mean, you hardly ever hear a preacher even mention the word glutton. I mean, it just doesn't fit these days because it'd almost throw a chill over the service anywhere. Because people are not interested in overcoming the awful desire for food. Now, verse 4 said, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. In other words, give up your own wisdom and get God's wisdom. He said, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Brother, I tell you what, didn't say they fly away as a sparrow or a chee-chee bird. Brother, when the old eagle takes off toward the heaven, I mean, you go out of sight. And that goes your money, too. That goes your worldly position. You go ahead and hang on to them. Of course, most of you lost everything. Before you ever came here, you never would have come. We hardly ever get it. We've never gotten a rich man yet. Never have. I've never gotten a man that I think had $1,000 in the bank that I know of that came to City Refuge. Because if he had $1,000 in the bank, he'd stay there and he spent that $1,000 and then he'd come. But you see, the devil robs. He picks clean. He picks completely clean. every person that'll live for him. He'll make them give everything they got and get them in trouble. And so he said, your riches are going to take wings and they'll fly away. Now then, I'm coming to the verse, one of them, and it's the verse 21. Verse 20 and 21. Be not among winebibbers. Now, really, back in those days, they had wine. They didn't, as far as we know, they didn't make beer, but they had the grapes, you see. And all you got to do is let the grapes rot and sour and put a little stuff with it, you know, and directly she's rotten enough to make any man drunk and make an old hog drunk if he eats out in the, you know. I got a report from the police department, the sheriff's department in Chattanooga, that one of the ways that they locate stills is that if they find old sows or old hogs stumbling out through the woods, they know they've located somebody's mash pile or something, see? And they've eaten it. Now, of course, when I heard that, I mean, heard that on radio one day, I was in Chattanooga, and I've never had much respect for hogs, but I mean, lost all confidence in that day. Because I said, well, you know, if a hog would eat rot like that and fill, I said, I'll never have anything to do with them again. I'm just not. I mean, they're just so disrespectful. And yet, human beings with immortal souls. Nevertheless, it's different now. You found a different stream, the everlasting life stream. And so he said, be not among wine. Now, really what he's saying, and I wish I could get this over to you, this is just what the Bible says. This is not some little silly opinion of mine. This is a conviction of the Word of God. He said, don't be among wine bibbers or beer guzzlers or liquor drinkers. I mean, now, you know what that means? Just don't go around them. They're not going to contribute anything to your life. I don't understand how you could feel at home around the people. I mean, they're filthy. They're sorry. I mean, the music is not good. The beer joints are worldly and ungodly. I mean, just don't go around. Now, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, along toward the latter part of the chapter, he said, abstain from the very appearance of evil. That'd stop a lot of our trouble, wouldn't it? If we just wouldn't go around it. Now, of course, to me, that cut out my television set because that's the appearance of evil right there. See, a lot of people don't want to make the application. See, when they see the verse like that, they say, well, you know, that don't mean television. It means it to me. It means it to me. And that includes the newspaper, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, so far as I'm concerned, you see, because the appearance of evil comes, I waste my time, so it's trash, and it's, you know, everybody got killed or somebody, you know. And so I don't want it. I just don't want it. Because, you see, I got me a Bible. I found the book. And this book would consume all the time that I have for reading. And so, notice what he said. Be not among winebibbers and among riotous eaters of flesh. And I say again, though you may not agree, but I think you will someday, the more meat we eat, the more we act like animals. Because animals are meat eaters. You see that set of teeth there? Those are like sheep's teeth. Those teeth were not made to cut meat. You look at a dog's teeth. He can tear it up. He's a meat eater. You see, when God made man, he didn't give him a set of teeth to chew meat with. Oh, you can chew it. But I mean, he didn't give. You see, and when this thing's over, you see, man started off eating vegetables and herbs. Now then, you couldn't get any herbs anywhere. You go to the drugstore. Used to 60 years ago, Dr. Beeler said you could get any kind of herb you wanted. But not anymore. You can get miracle drugs. You can get penicillin. And all the rest of the Tommy rot that people give you today that'll kill you dead as a hammer one of these days. Ah, listen, folk, God's way has been neglected and we've turned our back on it and we're a decayed nation and a lost world right now. We turned our back on the Word of God. It's the only book that any wisdom. He said, don't be among rioters, eaters of flesh. I was thinking this morning about Daniel. You know, Daniel went in the lion's den. And I've said this before, but I think it's got sense to a lot of people say, well, why didn't the lions eat him up? Well, remember, lions are meat eaters. Remember that. I mean, you throw them a hunk of a beefsteak or a piece of old meat or a rabbit or something, and again, they'll tear it just like that. And Daniel didn't eat meat. I mean, he was a vegetarian. And I don't think he had enough grease in him to whet their appetite. Huh? Oh, you said, I'll try it. Just go ahead and say what you please. Of course, I know God protected him. See, I never take away the glory from God. God protected him. But the Bible said Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself by eating the king's meat nor drinking the king's wine. And if the king's meat in those days defiled Daniel, it'd do it again. Amen. Might as well make up your mind, boys. I'm asking you, do you want victory? You just want to be a slob and a glob and graze on through. That's what you want. Help yourself. See? You've been doing that all your life. Look where you wound up. You'd say, well, I never did hear it. Well, you're hearing it now. See? Oh, thou man, you'll be without excuse, the Bible says. And so don't think the American people think they ought to have meat three times a day. That's the reason they die of the heart attack. I guarantee you'll stop every heart attack on the face of this earth if I could get you to lay off of your meat, especially most of it, and all that's off of the Bible list especially, and then get on enough juices and raw vegetables and go out and graze in the garden like the old cow grazes in the grass patch. It'll bring life to you. It'll bring life to you. It'll give you a lift in your step in the morning, make you hit that old runway and run and walk and breathe deep and live nobly. That's what I want. I tell you, I just don't want to die while I'm living. Amen? A lot of people, everybody look like they start dying. See, people say, well, you know, life begins at 40. Not the way I've been saying it. Death begins at 40. Practically, nearly everybody gets 40, they're on their way out. They're weakening every day. And they begin to announce it. They say, well, you know, I'm just getting old, I guess. I don't feel well. I guess I'm just getting old. Yeah. Why, talk about getting old. Talk about staying young. I mean, just have a good time. But just, you know, there's some discipline. Now, let's see what's going to happen. The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. He got them yoked together, didn't he? He sure did. He got them plowing to the same plow of the devil. He said, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That's exactly where you are. I'm in a position to know. I see the average man that comes to the city, he wears his wardrobe on his back or puts it in a paper sack. There have been a many a time, not every time, you know the exception, but nearly every time, everybody that ever comes here comes without any real finances or a big, beautiful suitcase, maybe two or three suitcases and overnight kits and so forth. And if a drunkard comes with all of that, it's usually because some loved ones or friends had mercy and said, we'll do it. And there's hardly ever anybody comes to the city that paid his own bus fare or plane fare. Some loved one had to do it. I mean, somebody. I've spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars and into the thousands helping with transportation. You'd say, have you ever been disappointed? Many times, but not in Jesus.
Yes.
And we're giving you the opportunity of your lifetime, but we do want you to get the victory. Oh, how we want you to know Christ. And you'll never have victory without Christ. Let's read on. Verse 23. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now he said in verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Then I want to skip to the 29th verse. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now you'd say, without me ever reading anymore, that sound like a drunkard to me. That sound like a drunkard to me. I believe that's a dope addict or a drunkard, sure as the world. Woe? That's a curse of God. That's a curse. Oh, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Contentions? Who's more contentious than a liquor drinker? Or especially a beer guzzler? Hard to get along with. Wife can't put up with them. Children dread to see them come home. I mean, it makes you ugly. Makes you contentious. And who hath babbling? You know what that means? I'll tell you one thing. Babbling, that's it. The talk of an idiot. Tongue won't work. Eyes won't focus. And I tell you one thing, Brother Olaf, now. I tell you, I've been over there my... And babbling, 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 babbling of an idiot. And that's what we got when we started drinking and God said it'd be so.
Yes, that's right.
And yet every man in here is sober now. And yet without Christ, you'll go back to the life of babbling. You'll go back, unless you have Christ, you'll go back. That old tongue, it'll babble again. Your old eyes will float around. Your brain will be pickled in alcohol. And you can't coordinate. You'll come to one morning in jail and somebody said, you say, what am I charged with now? Said, you killed a man last night. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I go in that jail, Patty, down in Corpus, and the man said, Brother Olaf, I remember hitting him one time with a hammer, and that's all. I'd never seen him before. He and I drank to our fill, 20-some-odd years of age. He said I hit him one time, and then I got in the car and went home, and it dawned on late in the evening. Late in the evening, it's 2 o'clock Saturday morning, we just walked out of a joint. And he said it dawned on me, and tears began to roll. I called my wife and said, listen, I killed a man. And she said, you mean this man here in the paper? He said, yes, I killed him. Said, they said I did it with a hammer, and I left the hammer there, and said, that's my hammer, and said, I hit him one time, and said, he went down to the ground, and then evidently I hit him many more times, but something slipped after I hit him one time. I didn't go to do it. I'd never seen this man, a sailor that came in on a ship. They gave him 35 years in the penitentiary and left two little children without a daddy and one that had never been born that came after he went off to the penitentiary. Folks, I want to ask you one question. Are you going back to drinking when you leave here? I'll give you the answer. Without Christ, you certainly will. You'll be worse. Listen, when you leave this place, this time, without Christ as your personal Savior and being filled, you'll be the worst drunkard you've ever been in the history of your life. And you'll run out to the end of the trail before you know it. You watch, you'll fall off into a drunkard's grave and said, oh, God! Too late then. Right now's the time to get you victory. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. Christ is the answer. Well, he said, they that tarry long at the wine or the beer or the liquor, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it's red. That's one reason I wouldn't have a television set. They put that old bottle of beer with it foaming over the top. And they said it's made from 1,100 springs, you know, pure water. Uh-huh. It's aged in the woods. That's right. I want to know what the final day is going to be like. And brother, I've got mine figured out, praise God. I'll tell you, it'll be my graduation and commencement exercise. So far as I'm concerned, because I'm not tied on to this old world. This is not it down here. What's yours going to be? You'd say, mine will be the death of a drunkard. All right, I'll tell you what will happen. There'll be nobody there. I've buried many a drunkard. They didn't have one man for pallbearer. They didn't have one person, not one Ludwin that came. Ludwins knew it, but they didn't come. Said, haul him off, drag him off, put him anywhere. See, I know there was a dope addict taken into Houston. Some of my friends that I've been working with, and he got an overdose of dope, and his friends were so doped up they wouldn't walk with him. And he laid right there and died, and they put him in the trunk of the car, folded him up and threw him in there, took him into his brother in Houston, Texas, knocked on his door at 3 o'clock in the morning, said, got your brother out here, said, he's dead. His brother, his own brother, said, haul him off. The heat's on me too, enough now, I don't want him here. And they had to haul him off and throw him away. I want to know what's going to happen when this thing's over. You can have victory. And anybody in this room wants victory can have it. I'll guarantee you. Jesus, he never turns anybody down.
We're happy you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today entitled, The Cause, The Course, and The Cure. To receive that message on a CD, ask for offer number RO 2581. Please include at least $10 for shipping and handling, and the call letters to the station and also today's date. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403.
When sin and strife came in my life and took control, I knew that nothing I could do would save my soul. I brought my heavy load of guilt to God in prayer. He laid my sins beneath the cross and left them there. I'm living now.
For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love.
Since Jesus came and took my shame beyond a doubt,
I've just begun to see what life is all about. I've moved up on a higher plane where joys abound. And from this mountaintop of love I won't come down. I'm living now.
The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Roloff in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830 and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be. For no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.